We welcome into the program our friend Michael Hurley of WBZ CBS Boston. Hello, Michael.
How are you?
I'm doing, same as ever. How's your quarantine life going?
Kind of a loaded question these days to ask how are you, but you know, we're doing all right.
Are you participating in the homeschooling? How is all that?
Well, fortunately, my kids are preschool age, so nothing too overly challenging in terms of like calculus or anything like that.
Right.
So I'm helping when I can, but mostly my wife, who's a first grade teacher, she's carrying, I don't know, 99.7% of the load on that one. So I'm fortunate in that department.
That's good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. Are you looking forward to just seeing nothing against the family, of course, but to see other human beings?
Yeah, it's a strange thing now. It's like never really, you know, day-to-day interactions that you have on the sidewalk or whatever. Never really thought much of them until last week. We went on a little family walk through Boston, and there was nobody there. So it was a little bit eerie, kind of like all those spooky movies and Twilight Zone shows that we've seen. So looking forward to the end of that for sure.
What have you been watching for alternative sports entertainment?
Oh, but you know what I watched the other night? I think it was on ESPN. I had seen the home run, the Kirk Gibson home run, I don't know, 7 million times in my life. But I had never seen the full at bat because, you know, you only see the clip. And seeing that the other night was pretty awesome. It was a little before my time, so I have to give credit to the generation before me. That one lived up to all the hype that's followed for the past however many years.
Well, yeah, well, watching him literally hobble to home plate.
Yeah, it was awesome. And, like, the build-up, even though you know what's coming, it was still amazing. He had the little foul, like, roller down the first baseline. It was almost over so many times, and then... Great. It was great. Great theater for whatever day it was and whatever date it is and whatever year it is right now. I have no idea.
we call it the fourth Saturday. That's what today is of this
sure.
week here. Now, have you checked out anything like the NBA's horse tournament or guys playing video games?
I flipped on a horse for a good 30 seconds before I realized that was not going to be for me. I watched whatever baseball league has started back up. I watched a good 3 minutes of that on Twitter yesterday. That was pretty good. Trying to think. No, not really much in the video games. I put it on once, and I had no idea which team was which and who was who. It was just a basketball game, so I bailed on that one. So, yeah, there's no real substitute, but hopefully it's, you know, however long, 3, 4, 5, 6 months, not like a year and a half. I'm hopeful for that.
At this point, Michael, which sport do you think might be able to get going first?
Well, golf seems to make a lot of sense. And it seems like golf believes that too. I don't think you can put fans. I don't think you can line the fairways with social distancing fans, though maybe you can at some point. But I think they're a long way away from that. But in terms of just the golfers and the caddies and the camera operators who are all hundreds of yards apart, I feel like golf can give us something at least to watch and be involved in. And I don't know, I'm not a sports gambling guy, but I'm sure the numbers would be crazy if there was just some live sports like that to go for. So hopefully that June return happens. I feel like it can. I know a lot of people have to travel and whatnot and everything, but I'm confident that they can at least get us golf.
Do you think there's a cutoff date for Major League Baseball when it just becomes too far into the season for them to even consider starting up?
I do, only because it's baseball, and if there's any sport that's not going to be super adaptive to any changes and differences, it's baseball. I think back to the strike-shortened year, they still played, what, I don't have like 120, 130 games.
Yeah, it was over 100 games, I know that.
Yeah, so at least it was somewhat representative. If it were baseball to start in, say, August, and you have, I don't know, 2.5 months of regular season, and it's only 75 games, I don't know that they'd be willing to do that, but when money's involved, people are willing to do a lot. I did see today that Major League Baseball would ask the players to take a pay cut if there was no fans. And I don't know. It's hard to take from people to agree to have their money taken away in sports, as we've seen throughout the years in many different instances. So it seems like it would be tricky if the players have to isolate from their families for the entire time. I think that's a non-starter. I saw Mike Trout saying, you know, his wife's pregnant. So, like, is he supposed to leave his pregnant wife and let her have the kid? Or, like, it seems like there's more complications than we might realize, even though baseball is kind of a sport with separation. Seems like it could be a problem.
We're talking with Michael Hurley of CBS Boston here on Downtown. You did a very interesting analysis of Tom Brady's career numbers versus the quarterbacks who were drafted ahead of him.
Yeah, I knew they would be bad, and under normal circumstances, I probably wouldn't have wasted the time of tallying the stats of Spurgeon, Lynn, and Giovanni Carmazzi. Well, Giovanni Carmazzi was easy because he has none. But this is not normal time, and I had plenty of free time, so I did the math, and it turns out Tom Brady was indeed the best quarterback from the class of 2000. So I'm happy to have solved that debate today. I'm very proud of myself for it.
I think you did a great job on that. I was a little disappointed because I actually got to call a few of Gio's games when Maine was playing Hofstra? Against Hofstra, yeah.
Yeah, he was a historic Hofstra passer. It just turns out the NFL is a step up from Hofstra, and Gio wasn't quite ready for it.
Hard to believe. You went after, and I think with good reason, Jay Glazer for really taking advantage of the situation just to break a story and get some publicity.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the way that he went about it. I think, obviously, as a reporter, you get that information. You certainly should report it. I think it's worthwhile news that an NFL player tested positive. But to hype it up and draw attention and basically capitalize on a national health crisis so that you can have people talk about you and care about you and watch your TV show that most people didn't want to watch or didn't even know about, I don't think it's the time for that. I would hope that someone informed Jay that maybe did not go about his business that way during a national health crisis, because there's more important things than, you know, scooping and promoting and hyping up someone's viral infection. So I didn't really, what's the word? I don't know. It rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah, well, rightly so. So we talk about when sports will return and what that might look like, but what do you think might be some of the lasting effects of this in terms of the way either games are played or the way we watch and consume sports?
It's a good question, because when you watch these replays and stuff, like Sunday, I was watching the final round of last year's Masters, and you're just looking at the galleries and how crowded they are. And you're just like, I don't know about you, but I get like freaked out by it.
Yeah.
Even watching recorded drama TV shows when they're interacting and getting close, I'm like, you can't do that.
Right, you're like, why aren't you wearing a mask? Move over.
Exactly. It's affected me pretty swiftly here in about a month to just the whole thought process of human interaction. So I don't know. When you talk about the sports, that's one thing. When you talk about the crowds and the gatherings, and at this point, it's hard to say, because I don't know about you. I rely on the experts, and it seems like their tone, he seems to change weekly when it comes to various things like that. So I don't know. We can put a positive spin on it, but it still seems like we're a few months away from even being able to, you know, have family over, which is, I would think, step one. And then, I don't know, packing 17,000 people into an arena seems a long way away at this point. And I don't know. It's certainly doesn't seem like it's going to happen in this calendar year.
No, and when you have the mayor of Los Angeles saying, you know, we're not going to have stadiums filled with people, whether it's for games or for concerts or anything like that, before the end of the calendar year 2020, I have to think that's the way it's going to be everywhere in this country. I just don't see that changing. And part of it is, regardless of what any president, any governor says, I just don't see many people willing to gather the way they used to for a sport until everybody feels a lot safer about things.
Maybe. I mean, but there is a certain segment that seems to be a little bit impatient with the whole thing. They seem to not really believe in much of what's going on. We've seen some of the idiotic protests that hit our Twitter streams over the past couple of days. So, I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm willing to be patient about it, even though, you know, sports is, I don't know if you know this, sports is like my job. So it's kind of important to it. But I can envision a scenario where things get rushed back, things push too quickly, and then this current, you know, wave that we're in right now happens all again, but twice over. So I think avoiding that would be more important than us, you know, being entertained and whatnot. If there ever were an era to be, you know, trapped in your home without live sports, it would be this era when you have literally hundreds of thousands of hours of programming available at your fingertips at any moment. There's really no excuse to be bored in this era. You can just, you know, learn a guitar, learn how to cook. There's a lot of things you could learn how to do. We'll all get by if it can, you know, save lives and, you know, ultimately lead to a solution, not a patchwork.
Well, the good news is one of the people advising the president is Vince McMahon, so at least he's talking to the experts.
Yeah, and Jerry Jones, I'm sure, will have some really just brilliant ideas on opening up the country again. So, yeah, that's a little bit on the concerning side, but I'm sure I'm not sure of anything.
No, who can be these days? Well, Mike, hey, it's great to talk with you as always. Be well, stay safe, and we'll check in with you again soon on some other day that feels like a Saturday.
Yeah, sure, I'm free, so whenever.
All right, thanks, Michael.
Thank you. Bye.
Michael Hurley, WBZ, CBS Boston, with us here on Downtown.